Well, Cross Pacific Investments, Matt, is the vehicle that's been created in Australia. It's an Australian company by the Burotovich brothers from Argentina. Burotovich brothers being the name of their parent company. The Burotoviches are a family that have been farming for about 105 years, founded in Argentina, but now they're in Uruguay, Brazil and the US, and now obviously in Australia. They're an investor that has got an enormous amount of experience and probably more than most that I can think of that are coming into Australia in the last 20 years. King Ranch comes to mind. They were cattlemen that came in out of Texas in the US. They brought a lot of experience and a lot of skill to the table. And really, these guys are very experienced farmers. They know what they're doing and they know how to get things done. So it'll be a very interesting program going forward, I'd say.
They're farmers. What sort of crops do they specialise in?
Oh, they specialise in soybeans and cotton, and then obviously every other crop that's part of those rotations. You know, they're in wheat and corn and peas and all sorts of other things, but sorghum and cotton is their main game. I think they produce about 20,000 hectares a year of each across the spectrum of investments that they have. They are also traders in these commodities. So they buy and sell from the national market in each country.
Yep.
And export, sell to the export markets or wherever. So they do a lot of that as well.
So how did the Northern Territory get onto their radar?
Well, they'd been out here for 2 or 3 years before they purchased Manbaloo, which was the first purchase, I think, in March last year. And they'd been out for two or three years, probably 4 or 5 times, looking at country across northern Australia. They did an enormous amount of research. The base research was basically looking at rainfall and soil types.
Mm.
These guys are farmers, they know what they're doing, so that's what they focused on. And rainfall, basically risk of drought and risk of flood, both being as bad as each other. And Catherine was the area that they landed at after they eliminated all the other factors, just the area around there was what suited them.
And as it turned out, there was some country up for sale.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So,
how did you end up on the radar?
Oh, I don't know. My name was mentioned and they yep. gave me a call one day when they were up here. I think that's about how it happened. I forget who mentioned it and all that, but I met them probably 18 months to 2 years before the Manbaloo investment happened, and that was in that period they went across all these other areas. I didn't participate in that, but when they decided to focus on Catherine and these properties, I got another call.
Starting up a company based in Australia, does that mean that Cross Pacific Investments can buy properties without having to go through the foreign investment review?
Oh, definitely not, Matt.
That's not how it works?
No, we had to go through the FIRB 3 times,
yep.
every time we buy something. Now, irrespective of the size.
Also, even say Sturt Downs, a small property near Catherine.
Yep. Everything has to go through because you've gone over the $15 million threshold. So every acquisition now has to go through FIRB, and everybody's in the same boat with that one.
Is that an easy process?
Oh, I think the first time is a bit more onerous while you go backwards and forwards, but once you've done it once or twice, and it's just basically changing the descriptions and titles and all that sort of thing on the document. The document's fairly standard. And once you get that bedded down, it's pretty straightforward. It's expensive. Every time you go in there, they don't seem to give you a discount for the amount of time you've been in
right.
there.
So Cross Pacific Investments, it's now in charge of Scott Creek, Manbaloo and Sturt Downs. What is the plan?
Well, the Burotoviches are farmers, like I said. They don't have a lot of experience in livestock. They have some. Their desire is to develop for farming and not own a lot of livestock. They do own the livestock at Sturt Downs at the moment, and we're in the process of subleasing the areas out to a sublessee, and that's coming to fruition at the moment. It's not done yet, but it's almost done. And that lessee or lessees will sublease the properties for livestock production only.
Right.
And as land is taken back, it'll come off the sublease area. And the Burotoviches or Cross Pacific will do those developments.
And so going back to the plan going forward, I guess, to give our audience a sense of what Cross-Pacific wants to do and what sort of crops it's got in mind?
Well, Cross-Pacific, like I said, cotton and soybean experience, along with a lot of other things. We are looking at the moment of the developments for the next 12 months. We did inherit an in-situ application with Manbalu that we pursued for a little while, but the regulations have changed, the clearing guidelines have changed, and then we ran into some other hurdles with slope and flora surveys, which were hideously expensive, that weren't around before that. And so we're reviewing how we go forward with these sorts of projects, but we do need to get scale happening and numerous projects, because their objective is to develop quite a bit of land for farming. That's the intention, the objective, and the representations that were given to us by the current government over the last few years, that it's all very possible and would be made possible. So we are going to test the framework fairly soon.
So looking at crops like cotton or soybean for export?
Oh, definitely for export, but or you know, it's a market. Domestic buyers might pay for it.
If they want to pay money for it, you'll sell it to them.
It'll be the rate. We will sell for the best rate we can.
So if you want to do anything like this in the Northern Territory at the moment, you know, the path includes land clearing permits, water permits, non-pastoral use permits, and there's probably others that I can't think of at the moment. How are you feeling about that path and all the paperwork? Is it
possible?
Well,
I understand the paths and I understand the paperwork, and I will say it is onerous. It is ridiculously onerous, and so you've got to have big projects and deep pockets to really get things to happen. And, you know, it is constraining investment at the moment, or restricting investment. There's people coming up and having a look and thinking, oh, this is too bloody hard, you know. So we've got to be very careful as the Northern Territory that we don't chase all this interest away, which we seem to be trying very hard to do.
The Burotovich family must have confidence, though.
Well, they have had they did have confidence. It's not as good as it was. Like last year when the legislation was talked about around the non-pastoral use permits and that changing, that really sort of, there were some red lights flashing there, and we actually went and saw the chief, and thank God it got put on the back burner. But these are the sorts of things that will make investors evaporate very quickly. If you do things like that, you know, you invest in a country that's got these guidelines and laws and regulations, and then you change them midway, why would you reinvest, or why would you go and have a go there when, you know, that's a sovereign risk issue, really.
Yeah. So if all does go to plan for the company, when would you hope to be planting?
I would hope that we would have land developed this year, 2020, and be planting this time next year. You know, in the we don't have any sort of plans for irrigation. These guys are dryland zero-till farmers, have been for 25 years. So, you know, I know zero-till has problems up here, but these guys are keen to look at solving problems as well. So
it's similar to what we're seeing at Tipperary right now. There's cotton in the ground, and it's relying on whatever falls out of the sky.
Yeah. Well, and that's right. They do have the irrigator sitting on top of it to top it up, and most of it, but they do have a dry land crop sitting there beside it. And that's, you know, dry land is a huge opportunity, I think. Irrigation is going to be constrained. Well, we are constrained now by water availability already. So, I mean, you wouldn't want to be trying to build an industry based on irrigated cotton, because it's not going to happen.
Extracting something out of the Tyndall aquifer.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, it's said to be over-allocated already, so.
Over the decades, been a long line of international players come to the territory and leave after spending a lot of money. Why do you feel the Burotovich family can be different?
Well, I can remember them. I can remember the 70s in Kununurra when we were kids, were over there, and I remember that American invasion over there and all that happening. I can remember the Tipperary story a little bit with the Americans there as well, which was a little bit later on, and then obviously Scott Creek with Americans once again, and Bryce Killen did that project through the late 70s, early 80s, and it all failed, and, you know, and they were talking sorghum in those days, and sorghum ended up having a problem, I think, more than anything with the wet season and moles and things like that, and it just made it untenable to continue the program. But cotton, back then, there was no GM cotton, and you had to spray and spray and spray and spray, and that was what killed it in the ord back in the 70s. And, you know, when you were spraying a crop 20 or 30 times in its life for insects or weeds, but particularly the heliothis problem back with the insects, I think you can't afford to do that. But nowadays, I think the Tipperary crop last year did three sprays of each.
Yeah. Because it's not just three
insecticides.
It's not just GM, it's this Bolgard 3 in particularly. Yeah.
Been particularly successful at resisting heliothis, yeah.
The company's bought three cattle stations.
Mm.
Would it be willing to buy more land?
If there was an opportunity and it fitted the model, I think it would be looked at, but it's certainly not the focus now. The focus now is to get the lessees in place, get that sorted out with the livestock, because we do have a commitment under the Pastoral Land Act to run livestock, so we have to sort that, and we will sort that, and then we'll focus on the development programs where we are at the moment, and we've got enough scale and acreage to work on, I think, at the moment, so we don't really need any more to do things.
And do we have any Buratovichs now living in the territory and working here?
No, not at the moment, no. That probably won't happen for a while, but look, I'd imagine in a year or two, and when there's a fair bit of action happening, there will be Buratoviches or South Americans starting to be around and be seen, which will be good, interesting.
Yeah. Well, all the best in the year ahead, and thank you very much for telling us a bit about what's going on around Katherine.
No problem at all, Matt. Hopefully it all goes well and we've got a good story in 12 months' time.